We enter now into the time of the sermon, and before I begin, I just want to make it known that the wind is blowing like mad where I am today. Rather apt for Pentecost, but I'm hoping that this recording comes up through loud and clear. Well, not loud, but clear. So I want to begin the sermon, the message this morning, with a description of a cartoon I came across. And I want you to keep it in your head and your heart for this time and hopefully beyond. It is a line drawing of a human, very small, in relation to a line drawing of a depiction of God. And this human is pushing God, who is mostly a large set of hands and feet covered by a blanket, because really we can't depict God. Anyway, this human is pushing the depiction of God into a box that is labeled theology. And the caption reads, "Come on, God, get in there." It is Pentecost, some 7 weeks, some 50 days after Easter, after Passover, after the death and resurrection and ascension of this Jesus of ours. And we are told in over-the-top terms of the promised arrival of this advocate, this Holy Spirit, that Jesus has promised those who follow him will come. And what an evocative picture is painted of tongues as of fire alighting on the 12, and of sound like the rush of a violent wind from heaven filling the house, and of the cacophony of many speaking in many languages all at once, and each understanding the other. This Pentecost that we celebrate is on the same day as the Jewish Festival of Weeks. It is marked the 50 days following Passover, just as we mark Pentecost. Its beginning was the time of the growing season, and its end was the time of the harvest. It was a time of bringing in the sheaves and giving thanks and bringing the offering of first fruits to the temple in Jerusalem. So there were many people in Jerusalem in this time, making the pilgrimage with their offerings to the temple. They were all Jewish, but of many languages from many places. And they rushed out amazed that all understood the language of one another. Now I want to take a step back, a step way back in the story of this Bible. This Pentecost story is a reversal of the Tower of Babel story in the Hebrew Testament. In that story, God made all to stop understanding one another by handing out different languages, literally causing Babel in the place of understanding. And I want to read it to you this morning. It is a foundation story, one of those remarkable narratives in Genesis. Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. They said to each other, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth." But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building, and the Lord said, "If as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so that they will not understand each other." So the Lord scattered them all over the earth, and they stopped building the city. And that is why it was called Babel. Because there the Lord confronted and confused the language of the whole earth. From there, the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. From one language and one common speech, the story tells us, God scattered all people all over the face of the earth. And cultures rose and fell, and nations rose and fell, and gods rose and fell, and peoples rose and fell, and we were scattered over the face of the whole earth, not understanding one another, fighting and making treaties, subduing and intermarrying, worshiping in different ways to different gods, seeking ways to make sense of all things. And what a time we could have together, exploring the ways and the days of humans on this planet. What a time we could have together exploring and expounding and discovering the different foundation stories of all traditions and religious movements of this human race. Now, this is the stuff of anthropologists and archaeologists, of theologians of every time and place, of scientists of all ages. But in all of these stories, we will find the common ground, some version of the cartoon shared at the outset. We will find what we all share over all of humankind. We will find the spirit spilled out and always and continually being poured out. And here is the good news. None, absolutely not one version would be sufficient to contain the entire of the Holy Spirit poured out on all creation. All our attempts to understand, to get a handle on the magnitude of the pouring out of the Spirit are insufficient. It must be felt, not explained. It must be accessed, not demanded. This Spirit must be experienced, and it is oh so tough to describe. And so we resort to tongues of fire and rushing winds, to signs and to portents. But even insufficient, these are enough for our time here. If they, as Susan Gervin reminded us in her Met Musing last Thursday, if they bend the moral arc of the universe, one iota toward justice. Now, from the passage from Numbers read by Terry for us this morning, Numbers is one of the books of the Torah, the fourth of the five. From the passage that he read for us this morning, the problem is not language, but unshared leadership. The very human need for a hero to make all things right and the repository when all things go wrong. We are in the desert with Moses and the Israelites wandering, ancient refugees, existing on manna and not much else. A dark mood has overtaken the people, and they are demanding meat to eat, and Moses begins to despair. It is lonely at the top. And he turns for help to God, and we hear God's instructions. We hear appoint 70 elders, position them in front of the tent of meeting. I will come in the cloud, of course, a favorite appearance medium for God amongst the Israelites. I will come and apportion a portion of the Spirit I have set upon you, Moses. I will set it upon them, so that these may share in the governing of the community. We hear then of a sharing of the Spirit amongst some, always male, only the elect, and only for a short time, until the danger, the conflict, is past. Access to the Holy Spirit is available, but it is still controlled and mediated in this time. But as in much of the Bible, when we read it carefully, there is a spanner thrown in, a welcome spanner, and it is in the form of two men who are elect, two of the 70, but they stay behind in the camp when the others leave and are visited by the Spirit without being of the in group. Their names are Eldad and Medad. We have heard nothing of them before, and they will never be mentioned again. The interesting thing about this, the spanner, is that one's name means beloved of El. Now, El was a very ancient name for God, and the other's name simply means beloved. And when Moses is told that these two are prophesying in the camp, Moses replies, "Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, and the Lord would put his Spirit on them." Foreshadowing? Recognition of what already is and has been? Insight? Yes. Yes and yes. And so to our Pentecost passage, first in the personal, and I turn to William Blake to make sense of the Spirit poured out on you, on me, and on all who listen today. Unless the eye catches fire, God will not be seen. Unless the ear catch fire, God will not be heard. Unless the tongue catch fire, God will not be named. Unless the heart catch fire, God will not be loved. Unless the mind catch fire, God will not be known. The Holy Spirit. And then from the individual to the collective. And here is when I am again amazed at the depth and perception and insight of this collection of words we call the Bible. This passage, this Pentecost, this story, this event is evidence of the spirit, of the understanding of the radical and revolutionary teaching of this man Jesus. The Spirit is poured out on all people, not at the end of times, not in the last day, but now. What brings you together is not the miracle of being able to understand the language of another. This is not the common ground of the Spirit. What brings you together is the common ground of experience. And this is not the common ground that we all put our pants on the same way. And this is not the common ground that we belong to one religion or another. And this is not the common ground that we all love our children or enjoy a sunset or hate and love the same set of values. No, what brings us together to bend the moral arc of the universe toward justice is the Spirit poured out on all people. You have one common language and one common speech. And it is the language and the speech of the Spirit. And it has always been. Without the Holy Spirit, God is far away. Christ stays in the past. The gospel is a dead letter. The church is simply an organization. Authority is a matter of domination. Mission is a matter of propaganda. The liturgy is no more than an evocation. Christian living is a slave mentality. The Spirit is poured out on all people. Not just on those who spoke the same language from the same place, not just on those who agree with you, but on all people. So what does the pouring out of the Holy Spirit say to us on this day, amongst this community, with the events we are hearing this week of those in authority? The violent death of two black men this week at the hands of police officers, the vacuum of leadership south of the border, this unsettling time of COVID-19, how do we celebrate the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, the birthday of the church, given the events of this week, of this time? How? Well, as we have always done, by recognizing the Spirit poured out on all creation, despite our attempts to contain it or pervert it, by standing entirely in solidarity with those who seek a better tomorrow, and by making goodwill the pursuit and product of our free will. And this time, when we are out of our beloved church, when we are not able to be there to worship, this time is an opportunity as well as a sadness, and a calling to remember that nothing can contain the Holy Spirit, no church, synagogue, no place of worship. And so I end today with a piece I did not write, but I think appropriate for this Pentecost Sunday. It is written by one Cameron Bellum. While we grieve our closed churches, I wonder if maybe, just maybe, Jesus is happy. He's been let out of the constraints of the physical church building for a little while, free to stretch his long limbs of love in the world. Since we can't go into him, I imagine him coming out to us. I imagine his neck stiff from resting, his sacred head on our stone altars, his elbows cramped from bending to fit into the transept, his holy feet always pressed against the doors to the narthex. I imagine him bending double to step through our low entrances and out into the crowning wreaths of cherry blossoms. I imagine him traversing our cities, wiping away tears with the hem of his robe, offering bread to those who need it, keeping vigil, fingertips blessing blazing foreheads with all those who die alone. We long to return to our churches, incense sanctifying our plaster and stone. But Jesus lives and breathes out here among us, and every molecule of oxygen is holy air. Amen. The Lord said, If as one people speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. The Holy Spirit is the language we share, and impossible is then nothing. Amen and amen.